of the Living Geek.
This is Podcastica, a Doctor Who podcast here on the Night of the Living Geeks Network. My name is John, and joining me, as always, is my good friend Taylor. Taylor, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man, and may I say happy Doctor Who Day to you.
Yes, indeed. The 52nd anniversary, I believe?
52nd anniversary.
Look at that.
Yep.
It's somebody's father. Well,
how are you holding up, John?
I'm doing okay. I mean, we're going to get into this episode that we watch, but before we get into Face the Raven, there's a couple of Who notes we have, and I if you do not mind, I'd like to go with my note first.
Of course.
Episode 2 of the Time Scoop cast has dropped, and you should all go take a listen to Michael and his guests fantasy drafting their favorite Doctor Who episode, or one that they have created in their own minds. So go check that out, timescoopcast.com, and yeah, check it out. It's really, really good.
Definitely. I was very excited to see that in my podcast feed this morning, so I was listening to it at work.
And let's see what else. The final two parts, Heaven Sent and Hell Bent. Ooh. We'll have extended run times of 55 minutes and 65 minutes, respectively, which is, oh boy.
Oh boy, indeed.
55 minutes of pure Capaldi next week.
You know, interesting note that I saw with respect to Heaven Sent is that there actually is another character in the episode. It isn't literally just Capaldi. It's a character named The Veil. But it's played by the same guy who played Colony Sarf.
Really?
In the season. Yeah, it's the same actor. I don't know if you see his face at any point, but it is the same actor.
Huh. Well, okay then. That is very interesting.
And, yeah.
And I guess in an interview with Capaldi, he reveals that Clara's exit, as we saw it, was pretty much planned for her from the beginning. Now, from the beginning of Capaldi's run?
You know, that wasn't clear. This was one of those things that popped up in my morning spoilers on IO9. And what I read was that this was the plan, to have her exit in this way, to have her die, basically, from the start. The whole thing with the end of season 8 was something that came about because Jenna Coleman herself felt that she needed to go, and Capaldi was like, no, I want you to stay, I want you to stay. You know, see it through one more season. And so she did.
Okay. How could you say no to Peter Capaldi?
I know I couldn't.
And clearly Jenna Coleman could not either. So Face the Raven, here we go. Written by Sarah Dollard and directed by Justin Mol... you say it. You said it better last time.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, what did I say? Molotnikov.
There you go. You said it with the accent.
Yeah, totally, I did.
And Taylor, you have written us a awesome little synopsis, so take it away.
The Doctor and Clara are contacted by Rigsy, who's been duped by Mayor McMee, which is what I'm calling her now, into a situation to trap the Doctor. Mayor McMee doesn't realize that she's been duped again, and our dear Clara pays the ultimate price for it.
Oh boy. So you have some story notes. We said happy birthday to Doctor Who, and you have one other note you've written down here that is very interesting.
Yeah, over the course of the entire, I'm going to say the TV experience of Doctor Who, so I'm excluding audiobooks, I'm excluding comics and the novel. Yes. All that kind of stuff. Only 4 companions have ever died. And I was trying to look up exactly who. Now, Adric, obviously, we know Adric did.
Yes.
Ed, Clara, obviously. And it looked like, from everything I could tell, because I had some kind of conflicting sources, it looked like the other two were back in like the first Doctor era.
Oh, huh.
So it has not been many, and of course you can argue the definition of companion.
Yes,
because it was oh my gosh, Kylie Minogue's character in Voyage of the Damned.
Yes,
Astrid.
Yes, Astrid. Yes.
Yeah. So she dies, but was she a companion? Not really. Was she having an adventure with the Doctor? Yes. I don't know. See, there's a little bit of subjectivity to this.
I always kind of defined it as someone who traveled in the TARDIS for maybe more than an episode.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. More than one or two episodes, I would agree with that.
Yeah. So, let's...
Chris, go ahead.
My notes, and I think the first thing I want to talk about is... I am sad that Clara's gone, but I wasn't sad during the episode, mainly because I feel like, well, we all knew this was coming, and
yes.
I think that kind of takes away some of, at least for me, some of the emotion of it, where it's like, this person is leaving, and this is when they're leaving, so deal with it, for me at least.
Yeah. I know. I'll definitely agree with that, because I mean, you and I tend to kind of immerse ourselves not just in watching the show and then talking about it, but you know, we look at news and we kind of like follow the topic online. So we're always looking for that stuff, and so we kind of go in knowing what's coming.
Yeah,
to an extent. I mean, we may not know every last thing. You know, but we know what's coming. We're not sitting there as some viewers who are just, you know, they watch just Doctor Who on Saturday night and then they go about their lives the rest of the week.
Yeah.
When really they're listening to us in addition to that, because we would appreciate that.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, right? Where they don't look at news, they don't look at, you know, hashtags on Twitter, or they don't maybe follow the Facebook. And so, yeah. Clara's death in this comes as just a massive shock to them.
Yes. But to us...
So, go ahead, yeah.
But to us, it's... And see, I almost wonder, because maybe this goes a little deeper, because I knew Matt Smith was leaving. We all knew Matt Smith was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretty devastated when he was gone. I mean, we had a decent amount of time to... didn't we have almost a year of no Doctor Who, where it was just like, well, Matt Smith's gone and I'm the saddest boy on earth?
We did have a pretty long stretch there, somewhere between 9 and 12 months from what I remember.
Yeah, and I was just devastated. And the thing that... I mean, it kind of sucks, but it's also cool, is I was in the midst of introducing a lot of friends to Doctor Who, and they'd want to rewatch... Or for them, they'd want to watch episodes for the first time. And it's still sometimes a little hard to watch Matt Smith, because I was really attached to him. So I almost wonder if the down curve of Clara's character in season 9. No, this is season 9.
This is season 9. Season 8.
In season 8. Maybe that took away a little bit from my overall... sadness, but I am definitely sad. Do not get me wrong. I will miss Clara Oswald being on my screen every Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't feel that sense of sadness that I felt like when Amy and Rory left, or, you know, when Rose left, or I don't know. I just didn't really feel, or when Donna left, and that was just devastating.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mention that, because just, like, literally just before, I can't say just before recording, just before I put my son to bed before we recorded, because those happen almost back to back, there is an article literally just posted this evening, again, I think it's on IO9, about the 10 most depressing departures on Doctor Who.
Oh, geez.
Oh yeah, and I don't have the link. I didn't toss it into our notes, but I'm sure we can find it.
Yes.
Your number one, Donna Noble.
Oh, of course. Was that the number one on there?
It
Oh.
totally was.
Did it include, it didn't include Doctors in there, did it?
No. Companion
Just
Departures.
Companion
Sorry.
Departures, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely that is number one just because that is the definition of I don't want to go and but I'm sorry, you have to.
Yeah.
Yikes, just terrible, terrible stuff there. I mean, good stuff, but
Yeah.
terrible. You know what I mean.
I do. I totally get it. And I was, I mean, I was emotional watching it kind of all unfold in Fear the Raven, or sorry, Face the Raven. God, I keep calling it Fear the Raven. I don't know why I keep doing that. It's Face the Raven. I mean, I was emotional. It's not like I teared up or anything. It's just like, okay, this is really happening. And all the scene before that, just the emotion and the speeches and everything, just really kind of built that up. And you know, I am obviously sad that she has departed, that she's left the show and has done so in such a way. But I'm trying at the moment to, I guess, distract myself with this other kind of larger mystery, because it really, Face the Raven, Heaven Sent, and Hellbent are almost more of a three-parter, it looks like.
Yeah.
A one-off and a two-parter.
Yes, with one that kind of has connections to the other ones.
And speaking of connections,
Yes.
if I may, Amber and Kobe last night decided, hey, we want to start catching up on Doctor Who, because they were five episodes behind
Oh
at
boy.
that point. We were all the way back at The Woman Who Lived.
Wow.
And so we watched that last night, and wow, did I notice some connections between that episode and this?
Oh, really? Would you care to share us?
I would be quite happy to. One, she got duped by Lion-O into
Yes.
thinking that he was going to whisk her away. And then, what, another 400 years later, she gets duped again by, well, we don't know who.
I have a pretty good idea.
I've got a guess as well. We'll get to that. But she gets duped again into, here, help us trap the doctor. No harm will come to anyone. It'll be fine. And you can see in her face in that scene, she's like, I screwed up. I totally screwed up.
Oh yeah.
Now the other connection, the one that I literally blew my mind when I saw it on screen, was the part, and I'm going back to The Woman Who Lived here, where she and the doctor climb up into this chimney to escape the guy who was asleep on the couch.
Yes.
Remember that scene?
Yes.
Okay. And Ashilda goes, well, why haven't you made, oh, you're still traveling with Carl. Why haven't you made her immortal? Because she's being all pissy and stuff. And then she says, she'll just blow away like smoke.
Oh my God.
You see, I'm not kidding you, dude. I just about lost my sheezy and fell off the couch.
Wow.
Because she's talking about being immortal and how, everybody who has a normal mortal life, just, they are as gone and as, I don't know, effervescent? No, effervescent's not the right word, as smoke. She sticks around and they all blow away. And having seen the scene where we get this kind of like, I don't know, smoke monster reference,
Yeah,
I kind of
right.
call it one. I was like, oh my God, she called it. She totally called it. Oh, dude. But I couldn't say that out loud because Amber and Kobe hadn't seen the episode yet.
Yeah. Oh man, wow.
I know.
Oh. So, I guess let us we get Riggsy. Riggsy's back.
And apparently a dad now.
Yeah, he's a dad. And he has found a weird tattoo on his back. He's not sure how it got there.
I like that it's done in kind of like almost like a old English, script or
Yes.
kind of thing. Like it's somebody's area code. It's like, yeah, man, I'm repping the 537. What?
I loved this Gallifreyan body scan that the doctor gives Riggsy.
Yeah, that was cool.
Gives him like the TSA would be proud.
The TSA would be jealous because they're just not as good.
And we get, and I don't know if I've ever heard this on a show before. The doctor explains to Clara that Riggsy's been retconned.
Yeah. So they decided to take basically a bit of internet slang and turn it into a drug.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. That just seems really.
I mean, it's like when the doctor put on the sonic sunglasses and referenced wearable tech.
Yes.
I mean, what better way to absolutely date yourself in time by referencing a buzzword from that particular year?
Yeah, definitely. It's like saying hella. Even though I say it all the time, but you get it. If they said it in like 40 years.
Northern California, it's okay.
If they said it in like 40 years on a show.
Right.
There you go. That's better. The note cards have returned. That was, I like when he just figures it out and just walks away and everyone's like, where is he going? And then you see the note cards and you go, oh man.
And I liked Riggsy's reaction when he's like, no, don't call me Riggsy. And, you know, call me pudding brain, call me local knowledge. That's when you know something's serious.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think if Riggsy didn't have a partner, because I don't know if they're married or not.
Right.
And a kid kind of, I don't want to say holding him down, like it's a bad thing, because I love being married and being a dad. But if Riggsy was completely single, I think he'd make a great companion.
Yeah, I was hoping that maybe they'd figure out a way for him to be a companion on the show, but I honestly feel like even though Clara told him not to feel guilty, this is going to hang over his head for a very, very long time.
Oh, yeah. And that whole scene where Clara is literally going out to face the Raven and the doctor is like, doctor's not here anymore. Only Zool or, you know, whatever, and flying off the handle at a shield. And Riggs is just kind of standing there. I was waiting for him to go, awkward.
Right.
I don't know what to do. I'm just going to stand here.
Oh, don't call me Riggsy. So we talk about the trap street because they're trying to figure out where Riggsy actually had been. He was not going to Hogwarts. We figured that out.
No, although... you know, Clara, again, breaking out with, you know, actual, you know, historical knowledge. And cartographers actually did do that way back in the day of putting in like a fake little street because other, I don't know, cheaper cartographers were lazy and would just copy someone else's map.
You know what's weird about that, though? The first time she dropped the knowledge was with Truth or Consequences, right?
Correct.
But
yes.
That actually wasn't her. It was
Bonnie.
Yeah, because she had been taken at that point. So, no.
Well, they had a memory.
Yeah. It was probably stored in her memory somewhere.
Somewhere. And then the TARDIS hovering over London with Thrill Seeker Clara.
Oh, yes.
If there was a better way for them to just... Like, not only that, but just the opening where they come, you know, that cold run in from like, we're having some sort of adventure and something's chasing us. And, you know, the doctor's concerned and Clara's laughing, you know.
Yeah.
They're clear. I mean, I've been saying this for many episodes now, but they are so, you know, vibrantly stating she thinks she's invincible.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, they are very much stating that, and they did a very good job of it. I love that Riggsy says she's enjoying that way too much.
Yes,
and the
great.
Doctor's like, yes, she is. So I actually didn't catch that the first time around. I just thought she was just having a good time. But yeah, it is a little bit of an invincible thing. I didn't even think about that.
No, she totally is. I mean, she's almost falling further out of the TARDIS, and she's laughing.
Yes. Because
I'm sorry, if I was doing that, I should just slip further out. I'd probably freak out a little.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, come pull me back in. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the local knowledge nickname. I think that's great. I feel like that needs to be some garage rock band.
Yes.
Local knowledge. I think that would be a great name for a garage band.
Heck yeah.
And then we get to Diagon. I mean, we get to the Trap Street.
Trap Street, like trap music. What? No.
This whole episode had too much of a Harry Potter vibe to it for me.
Oh, it completely did. I still kind of want to understand exactly what this is. Is this like a pocket dimension? Is it kind of like the inside of the TARDIS, but set on a street with a perception filter?
I feel like that's probably what it is. It was a little wibbly wobbly, so I don't think we got a really great explanation as to what it was, but I mean, it's there.
It's there, and it's cool, and I liked the effect, and I liked the whole sequence of them trying to find it.
Yes, it was great. I really
that
was really
cool. I liked that a lot. You know what else I liked?
What's that?
I like the Shilda's swoopy hair.
Yeah, she had a different look going on, and did not know her name was a Shilda still.
Well, yeah. Now she's Mayor Me.
Mayor McMe. I like Mayor McMe better.
Thank you. Like Mayor McCheese, but, you know, obviously cuter.
And
less
Constable
cheesy.
Big Mac.
And Constable Big Mac. No, Jadoon Cops.
Yeah, the Jadoon Cops was... The effects in this were, I guess they were kind of cool, but I didn't understand why they would need to be having like a perception filter on them, because they all know that they're like aliens. Was it just so like nobody knew what race anybody was?
I think part of that is, and honestly, after last week, I wasn't really loving the whole like static effect.
Right.
Because there was just so much in Sleep No More. But at one point, Ashilda explains to the doctor, going on a two-day-old memory here, I should be okay, that basically the glow worms that are in the street
light, yeah,
they give off some sort of, I don't know, if I can't remember if it's an endorphin or a chemical of some kind, so that everybody sees this street the way that they would kind of like expect to see it. So it's actually a subjective perception filter.
Oh, so it could almost be like the Cyberman, which makes no sense that there's a Cyberman there. That actually, out of everything, that's the most unbelievable thing to me, is how is a Cyberman just hanging out in this place? Like the Jadoon makes sense. Yes, with the Ood working on the Ood, the Jadoon makes sense. Even who else? Do we see anybody else?
Oh God, that we easily recognize? No, because there's like the fish dude. There are the Janusians, the Two Face.
Right. Oh, I feel like
after the
don't we see a Silurian?
Yes. No, we see oh no, a Santarin.
A Santarin, maybe a Silurian, I'm not sure. But
I'm trying to remember now.
But either, like, all of those make sense. The Cyberman makes no sense at all. Like, that Cyberman would try to kill everyone.
maybe it was a partial conversion. Maybe he's inactive. Were his eyes lit up?
I did not see that. That could be another thing. Maybe he's inactive. So you're saying if you're a Centauran, everything around you looks Centauran-like.
That's kind of what's implied. Can I say that with certainty? No.
And I guess, are we to believe maybe we're seeing, I don't know, I guess we're seeing it maybe halfway through Clara's eyes and halfway through the doctor's. That's why we're getting the little staticky reveal. I have no idea.
Maybe. I think it really just comes down to a plot device to show we, the audience, that no, these aren't, you know, street urchins. These are aliens.
Yeah. So Quantum Shade, huh? That's pretty interesting.
That, you know what? That should be like somebody's DJ name.
Quantum Shade?
Quantum Shade and Local Knowledge.
DJ Local Knowledge?
No. DJ Quantum Shade. And then the Garage Band is Local Knowledge.
Oh, right. I love it.
I'm not saying they play the same bill.
No,
obviously different styles.
Yeah, they would headline their own different clubs.
They definitely would. So
I guess throughout this episode, I go, well, how is Clara going to die? I don't understand. And I eye rolled so hard at the transferring of the, like when you found out that was a thing that could happen.
Yes, right, with the other couple.
Yeah, and I went, well, here we go. I know what's happening.
They did a lot to kind of set up the different elements where Clara would go, oh, I can do that. And Ashilda says that I'm under her protection. And so, yeah, I could pull this off because I'm invincible.
Basically, from here on out, we're going to go off Taylor's notes, because everything from here on in my notes is Cap's feelings.
Yeah, cause should we just read them? Because they're really kind of hilarious in a way.
I'll read them. No, Clara, no. We'll jump ahead just because we'll read all my notes. She wants the TARDIS. Wait, no. Welp. Wow. Well, all right. Oh, boy. Doctor going insane. And then GFC, I feel so bad for Riggsy. And then, aw, Riggsy, sad face.
And I can vouch for that, folks. That is literally the entirety of the rest of his notes.
That is it for me. Taylor, I'm going to go take a nap. Take it away. No.
Okay. So, a lot of mine, when I watch, it's all very reactionary. I have other thoughts later on when I start piecing stuff together, but I've got no, Clara, don't be cunning. You can't cheat it.
And she even says it. Well, she obviously has Riggsy transfer the quantum shade to her and doesn't tell anyone. And before there's everyone finds out when there's a minute left.
Yeah.
So she basically has time to say some epic things to the doctor and then die. Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah. So she says something to him oh, we can fix this, right? And he says no, we can't. And she actually says, she almost says I want to be you, or I want to be like you, kind of. So she almost sees herself as... And it's fair to see yourself as equal to the doctor, but you're not. You are a human, and he cannot fix this.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Well, and think about it. I mean, they've kind of set that up right from episode one of the season, where Clara and Missy are talking about, the doctor goes in, knowing he's going to win.
Yes.
Knowing that there is a way to win. So... Clara is spending this entire season with that kernel of an idea in her head. Whatever happens, the doctor can find a way to fix it. Well, not quite.
Not quite. So
not this time.
No, not this time. I'm trying to think if I'm glossing over anything. You're going to have to take it away from here.
A little bit. Yeah, let me jump in real quick, because we've got the Janusian, or Janusian, I'm not sure, because it is the Greek god Janus, the two-faced people. But I'm going to say Janusian because it's just easier for me to say.
Go for it.
The one who they think is dead, who they think Riggsy has killed.
Yes.
Even obviously, he's got no memory. This is all part of this grand setup that Mayor McMee is a part of. And the doctor realizes, wait a second, no, she's alive in this, little stasis
yeah.
chamber thing. And then they zoom in on a rather familiar looking lock. And my reaction was oh, well, that looks familiar. I bet I know what kind of key fits that.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it takes the TARDIS key. Not just takes, as in the TARDIS key fits the lock. It takes the key.
Yeah, and it takes half of the doctor's hand, but when he removes his hand, he has like this weird like bracelet on it.
A teleport band.
Yeah, and this is when things kind of start to come together that Ashilda says they said nobody would get hurt. They just are. Was it they wanted the TARDIS or they just wanted to get rid of the doctor? Or there's not really a plan.
Well, I don't remember if it is a singular or a plural pronoun.
I feel like it's they. And now that we've gotten to this part where we find out that Ashilda has been tricked by someone or a group of people, I'm going to tell you it is indeed Gallifrey. I have to believe that it is.
You think so? Because I've got the note. Because I've got, man, a shield has been set up by someone to trap the doctor. But who? Missy? The Daleks? Gallifrey? And then I say, the Veil.
Oh, yes, the Veil. So that is...
Who, obviously, we'll see next week.
Yes. I think it's a grander scale. I think...
I hope it's a grander scale, honestly.
I feel like... And should we talk about the synopsis for episode 12, even though we're two away?
Oh, for episode 12?
Yes, the one that you sent to me.
Yes, right. Yeah, okay. No, I'm sorry. I have a number in my head. Yes, but we should give warning, yes. Listeners, if you don't want to hear the synopsis for the last episode of the season, not counting the Christmas special, tune out for, what do you say, 60 seconds?
I'd say a minute.
Okay, 60 seconds now.
Okay, so the synopsis, and was actually, we talked about this in the preview for season 9. I was actually right, and we're headed back to Gallifrey, apparently.
You are so proud of that.
I'm very proud of it.
You should be.
So I feel like maybe the Time Lords have waited long enough, and they're like, you know what? This guy's not going to find us. Let's help him out. By any means necessary.
You think it's just a let's help them or...
Let's help ourselves, you know, I'm sorry.
Okay, because it seems to me almost more like it would be a, look, you've done some stuff, we want to have words with you.
Oh yes, that's the other thing, the hybrids. Yes, that could also be like, you know what, let's reel him in. He's really seems to be sidetracked. Let's reel him in by any means necessary.
He's gone off the rails.
Yeah.
That, you know what, that could be, I kind of hope so, because I'm looking in this episode at just these faint breadcrumbs, because now we have, at the very end of this episode, we have the doctor teleported off somewhere. I mean, literally a one-way trip.
Yep.
The band stays behind.
Yes.
So he is completely somewhere else. We don't know if it's some when else, maybe.
Yes.
He doesn't have a TARDIS. He doesn't have, obviously, a TARDIS key.
No.
Someone else is in possession of that now.
He doesn't have his last will and testament anymore.
Oh, yes, right. He doesn't have his confession dial anymore. That's been handed over. So we have to assume whoever is setting this up has that now.
It is a mystery.
Indeed it is.
But I feel like it's got to be Time Lords.
Okay.
I just don't...
You heard it here, folks.
I just don't know why. I just don't know why yet.
It's a gut feeling.
That's just my gut feeling from what we've heard. And yeah, I guess let's talk about our good friend Clara dying.
Let's start with this, because after he hands over that confession dial, like from that moment, just the whole rest of the show just gets heavy.
Yeah, very heavy.
There's that word again, heavy. Talking just about the acting.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're knocked out of the park and across the bay.
Yes. Yes,
we are. And I guess it only works if you're here in the Bay Area, but whatever.
Very true. Yeah, just Clara realizing that the doctor can't do anything, and her saying, look, you're going to be alone now, and I need you not to lose your mind and torch everything to the ground.
Because he definitely was on fire.
Oh, yes, he was. I just, and then she tells Rigsy not to blame himself, and
Yeah, it she in that moment is like the most mature and responsible person in the room. It's like she just accepts it. She knows, okay,
yeah.
it can't be fixed. I screwed up. I can see where you're headed, doctor. Don't go that way. You know, Riggsy, I know what you're going to think. It's okay. Don't think that.
It was her
You know,
choice, yeah.
it was, and it totally was. And she accepts that responsibility very bravely, very nobly.
Yeah, and let me be Brit. Just I was like, "Can do we
Yes.
need to see her die? Please just show her body afterwards." I don't, and I think they did it very well to where I'm like, I really don't need to hear Clara scream. I think that would have just,
Yeah, I'm glad that they dropped the audio out.
yeah.
Because yeah, I think that probably would have pushed me over the edge emotionally watching that.
Yeah, I think
I mean,
that.
it was tough enough.
Yes, very tough. Yeah, I think that would have been it for me. I'm like, please drop the audio out of this. And they did. They did a good job. I think they did
No,
a.
they totally did. They totally did. And interestingly enough, I actually I didn't read the whole article because I saw that it was attached to the Mirror, and I was just like, whatever. But I did look at the headline, and they were claiming that Clara's death was actually too graphic.
Really?
Well, I think England, or I think in the UK, Doctor Who on some level is still looked at as a kids' show.
Okay. All right, that makes sense.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, I can see that on some level. I at least know that as a dad, you know, I'm not just going to let Perrin watch or Echo watch Doctor Who without me sitting there with them.
Yes.
You know, so when something like this happens, you know, you have a discussion with your kids.
Yeah.
You talk to them about that. These things happen. I mean, not necessarily in real life in terms of a bird turning into the smoke monster from Lost, and I was waiting just for that little like receipt paper sound in the background. Yes, I was waiting for that.
I would have thrown my computer out the window and then just moved somewhere else. I just would have been like, nope. My fandoms are coming together. No.
Yeah, but that just, I mean, after what was it, Saigon Inversion, and then we made those Lost jokes, I was like, yeah, smoke monster. Thank you,
Yeah,
smoke monster.
right. Well, there he is in crow form.
I know.
So Clara dies and it's very sad. And her, he just, well, I mean, he doesn't really have a choice. That's the other thing. I mean, he doesn't even get to like bury her or take her home or do anything because he's gone. He's on his trip to wherever he's going to.
Whisked away.
And he says the way he talks to Shilda before he leaves, oh boy.
Oh, yeah.
I believe the line he says, the doctor's no longer here, you're stuck with me now. Is that what he says?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, goes back to the doctor being a title he wants to live up to, and he don't want to live up to it right now.
Nope, that's exactly right. And I was just that. I mean that whole thing just gave me chills. That and the whole, you know, you steer well clear of me because the universe is a small place when I'm angry with you.
Yes, that was great. I actually went,
Brilliant.
my window was open and I went, woohoo! I made a noise like that when he said it. I was like, yep, that's a good reaction to have because, as I said, I really haven't had any emotional reactions to Capaldi's doctor except for like one or two. And that one, I was just like, yeah. I think that's one of the first times I've said yeah out loud while watching this show. Yeah, wow. So he's gone, and they hit you with that. I think it's an end credit scene where Riggsy, that got to me too.
Oh yes, right, where he's painted up the TARDIS with a tribute to Clara. Yeah,
that got me like real good. I was like, oh, this poor guy, he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
So they don't have, they don't, they, whoever they are, they didn't want the TARDIS, correct?
It doesn't seem that way. I mean, obviously someone is in possession of the key to the TARDIS now.
But what good is the key without the TARDIS? Was it just to get the key away from him?
I'm not sure now. I mean, quite honestly, because I'm trying to remember if the TARDIS has one of those like protection features where if like, hey, the doctor is nowhere in the vicinity, I shut down.
Yeah, I wonder if that's what's happening. Or maybe whoever wanted the key doesn't need a TARDIS because they already have one.
I don't know.
The mystery is afoot.
Maybe it's the Gallifreyan parking police and they're going to impound it and then charge exorbitant fees to get it back.
I just, I wonder if he'll leave the TARDIS like that for a little while he's going to get it back. Who am I kidding?
Right?
Yeah, with the little mural on it.
I don't know.
I don't think so. I think that'll go away. I think he'll travel through time and we'll have to painstakingly watch it like melt off the TARDIS.
God, I hope not.
That'll happen. And somewhere Stephen Moffat will go, yes, feed me their feelings of sadness.
And I sustain myself on the tears of the fandom.
And his mouth will open like Kirby and he'll just suck in all the feelings. There you go. That's a visual for everyone.
Yeah, there you go. Somebody draw us that.
Yeah, right. That would be nice.
Please.
So
please.
That was Face the Raven. I mean, I still feel I was going to try and watch it again before we recorded, and I just could not bring myself to do it.
Yeah,
it was just very sad.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wanted to. I just knew I wasn't going to have time with everything. We're in that weird space between my son's birthday and Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot happening.
Oh, yeah.
But, John, I got a question for you, because I've seen this question bandied about on to interwebs the past couple days. Who do you think is most to blame for Clara's death?
Who do I think is most to blame for Clara's death? Well, you can look at it a couple of different ways. You could blame the doctor for making her feel invincible. You could blame Missy for planting the seed that the doctor always has a plan and he only goes into situations he thinks he's going to win.
Right.
You could blame Ashilda because she caused this whole situation to get them there. Granted, she didn't know that Clara would pull a doctor on the whole thing and take the burden of the mark.
The mark. That's what it is. The quantum shade.
The quantum shade herself. You could blame Riggsy for being talked into giving her the quantum shade.
You could blame Clara for giving Riggsy the TARDIS phone number in the first place.
That too. yeah, that too. I don't know. Could be a group effort, but I think at the end of the day, the person that's most to blame for Clara's death is herself.
That's kind of where I'm leaning to. I mean, I completely agree with all your points. I mean, there's obviously influences all over, but I think at the end of the day, I think it comes down to knowing yourself, knowing, you know, what choices you make and accepting that responsibility.
Agreed. Agreed 100%. Yeah, she got a little too drunk with the power of time and space and thought that the doctor would fix it. And yeah, he could not fix it. So so now that Clara's gone, I guess I have a question for you. Where do you rank Clara in terms of Modern Who companions?
Oh, wow. Good question. Well, let's see. How many have we had? We've had Rose. We've had Martha. We've had Donna. We've had Amy. We've had Rory. Who are we forgetting?
So
Clara, obviously.
Clara.
Why do I feel like I'm forgetting somebody?
Well, let's see. Rose was 9 and 10.
Yep.
Martha was 10. Donna was 10.
Yep.
Amy and Rory were 11. And Clara was 11.
And Clara was 11 and 12, yeah.
11
so
and 12.
So that is 6.
So that's everyone. So where would you rank her?
I would probably put her... And listeners, I'm glad you can't see that. I'm literally staring at 6 of my fingers because I have assigned a companion name to each of them.
Oh.
Yeah. I would probably say top 3.
I'm looking at these names and I would have to agree with you. I would say top 3. I don't know if I'd put her at number 1. I don't know.
I don't know either. I could spend some time and think about those top 3 in my mind and rank them, but I'd have to take a little bit of time to do that.
I believe she's the only companion other than Rose to watch the Doctor regenerate, yes?
Yes. In terms of New Who, yes.
Which is cool. That's cool for her. Favorite?
She's also
oh, go ahead.
The longest serving companion of the new series.
She is, really?
She is.
Longer
something
than...
Something like 35. Like 35 episodes.
Oh, good for her. That's cool.
Yeah. I remember seeing that in an article somewhere.
Off the top of your head, I know I'm just randomly throwing questions at you now.
That's okay. We've been all over the place.
Favorite Clara moment?
Sweet mother of God, dude. Wow.
Would you like mine? Mine's pretty easy, and it's actually early on.
Oh, okay.
And I state this as when I knew I would like the pairing of Matt Smith and Jenna Coleman.
Okay.
It's in the Snowmen episode.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Where they're on the roof, and it's the whole I have a plan back and forth. When they're throwing the umbrella at each other, where he goes, she goes, I don't think you have a plan. And he goes, well, maybe I do have a plan. And that whole thing. And I was like, yes, this banter is amazing. I want this to happen all the time.
They did have some really good banter.
So that was my favorite, one of my favorite Clara moments.
I really wish I had known this question was going to come up tonight.
I didn't know it would either. Sorry.
Boy. I mean, that's really tough. What keeps coming to mind for me was Flatline last year, the last time we saw Rigsy.
Oh, yes. She was very good in that episode. She was very Doctor-like in that episode.
Right. And I think that was the first episode where people actually talked about, like, wow, she really is acting like she's the Doctor. She's kind of doing this take charge thing. Because, well, I mean, the Doctor was stuck in a shrunken TARDIS.
Yes.
Which in and of itself was hilarious.
Yes, it was. Yeah, that's a really good, that's a whole overall good episode. That's a great... She had some great moments in that episode.
She totally did.
So that's all I have for Clara stuff. Clara, we'll miss you. I know I will.
Absolutely.
There's a section in Swoon City that is now closed off and dedicated to you.
The flags in Swoon City are at half.
The flags in Swoon City are at half mast today. Oh.
The Swoon City Police Department, they've all got like little black bands on the badges.
Oh,
what else? What else can I come up with?
I don't know.
A day of mourning has been declared in Swoon City.
Basically. Oh boy. So next week, or this week, I'm sorry. I forget how this works. This week, Heaven Sent. I don't really have any information on it besides this will be a episode that only, for the most part, has the Doctor in it.
Yeah.
And he is in a mysterious place.
Yeah, some sort of castle-looking thing. This also, I noticed in the trailer, there's a scene where there is some sort of machinery in the background that when we did our season preview, we were trying to guess where it fit in because it looked like it was in a castle, but the machine itself looked kind of Dalek-ish, and that's doing no good because I'm talking about a picture and you're just it doesn't help. Go back, watch the trailer. There's a point, of course the Doctor's close to the camera, but if you look at what's behind him, So it makes me wonder if we are going to see the Daleks again before this season is out.
The hybrid Daleks, maybe?
I don't know. I want to know what this hybrid is, because that obviously does get addressed from what we've seen in the synopses.
Yeah. So, oh boy, buckle up, Whovians. We're not done yet.
Oh no, I think the roller coaster's just getting going.
So you can like us on Facebook. Just search Podcastica. Look for some Gallifreyan writing. Follow us on Twitter at ThePodcastica. You can follow me on Twitter at Sir Pingle, and you can follow Taylor on Twitter
at BusBuddha.
Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Just search Podcastica. Look for that good old Gallifreyan writing. Rate and view us as well. Huge shout out to the Y-Axes. All their information can be found in our show notes. And head on over to notlg.spreadshirt.com and buy one of our Podcastica shirts. We would appreciate that very much. And as we said, strap in, because we're going to heaven, apparently, in heaven set next week. And we will talk to you guys then. See ya.
See ya.